Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, May 19th, 2014. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, gay marriage ban thrown out in Oregon. Weddings take place this afternoon. Idaho voters head to the polls tomorrow in the primary. Many of the races are hotly contested, some less so. Pullman Parks to lose $250,000 from annual budget. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Dutch transport company Mammut's operations director in Vancouver, Washington, has sent an email to the Idaho Department of Transportation and Idaho State Police canceling their application for permits to move three 1.6 million pound pieces of oil refinery equipment along U.S. Highway 95 on their way to the Calumet Refinery in Great Falls, Montana. Industry analysts believe the Calumet Refinery refines exclusively crude oil from the Alberta tar sands. The email was written April 23rd, but was not made available to the public and Wild Idaho Rising Tide, who issued the records request, until today. U.S. District Judge Michael McShane ruled today Oregon's same-sex marriage ban is unconstitutional, and county clerks around Oregon began issuing marriage licenses and conducting same-sex weddings this afternoon. The National Organization for Marriage made a motion to intervene in the case because Oregon Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum refused to argue in favor of the ban, which was placed in the Oregon Constitution by voters in 2003. Last week, Judge McShane rejected the National Organization for Marriage's motion to intervene. The 53-year-old openly gay Judge McShane wrote in his decision, "Generations of Americans, my own included, were raised in a world in which homosexuality was believed to be a moral perversion, a mental disorder, or a mortal sin. I remember that one of the more popular playground games of my childhood was called Smear the Queer, and it was played with great zeal and without a moment's thought to political correctness." He continued, "On a darker level, that same worldview led to an environment of cruelty, violence, and self-loathing. It was but 1986 when the United States Supreme Court justified, on the basis of a millennia of moral teaching, the imprisonment of gay men and lesbian women who engaged in consensual sexual acts. Even today, I am reminded of the legacy that we have bequeathed today's generation when my son looks dismissively at the sweater I bought him for Christmas and with a roll of his eyes says, 'Dad, this is so gay.'" Later in the ruling, McShane wrote, "I believe that if we can look for a moment past gender and sexuality, we can see in these plaintiffs nothing more or less than our own families. Families who we would expect our Constitution to protect, if not exalt, in equal measure. With discernment, we see not shadows lurking in closets or the stereotypes of what was once believed. Rather, we see families committed to the common purpose of love, devotion, and service to the greater community." That from U.S. District Judge Michael McShane of Portland's ruling today on gay marriage in Oregon. There are now 11 states nationwide, including Idaho, where judges have overturned same-sex marriage bans or have ordered the states to recognize out-of-state same-sex marriages. 10 of those decisions have been appealed to the federal appeals court level, and one has been appealed to a state appeals court. Idaho appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals last week, and the circuit court issued a stay on allowing same-sex marriages in Idaho. Gay couples can now legally marry in 17 states and the District of Columbia. Washington's $5.90 cap on property tax per $1,000 assessed value, plus the approval of three new levies by Pullman and Whitman County voters, has completely nullified the Metropolitan Park District levy agreed to by Pullman voters in November. Metropolitan Parks District Superintendent Alan Davis told the Daily News another Washington law, which decrees parks districts, junior government entities to city, county, and hospital districts, means the increase from 41 cents per $1,000 assessed value to 50 cents approved in November will be rolled back to 33 cents per $1,000 assessed value after only 1 year in the 50 cents category. In February, voters approved levy lifts in Whitman County, Pullman, and the Pullman Regional Hospital District, which increased each entity's share of the $5.90 maximum, cutting out the Parks District. This year, the Parks and Pullman will get $757,000 from property taxes, but next year that will be rolled back to $499,000 when the three other levies take effect. Davis said he does not expect to lay off any of the Parks Department's 8 full-time employees, but they may need to delay renovations to the Pioneer Center Gymnasium and delay development of Mary's Park on Johnson Road as a result of the budget cut. Candidate filing ended in Washington Friday, and most Whitman County races have only one incumbent running unopposed for re-election. The exception is the race for Whitman County Sheriff, in which medical cannabis activist Adam Eisenberg of Colfax is running against incumbent Sheriff Brett Myers of Pullman. Eisenberg does not list a party preference, and Myers is a Republican. Eisenberg has sued Whitman County for his arrest for distributing medical cannabis in a case where charges were eventually dismissed, and sheriff's deputies were forced to return Eisenberg's medical marijuana to him. Incumbents face no opponents in the Whitman County Commissioners, Assessors, Auditor, Clerk, Coroner, and Prosecutor races. In the 5th District Congressional seat race, incumbent Republican Kathy McMorris Rogers of Spokane, Republican Tom Horn of Nine Mile Falls, Democrat Jeff Pakutas of Inchillium, and Independent Dave Wilson of Spokane are running. Under Washington's primary system, all voters can cast ballots for any candidate in a race in the August 5th primary, and the top two vote-getters advance to the November 4th general election. Almost all voting is by mail in Washington. Polls will be open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. tomorrow in the Idaho primary election. In Moscow, those who live east of Main Street will vote at the Latah County Fairgrounds Exhibit Building across White Avenue from Safeway, and those who live west of Main Street will vote on the southwest concourse of the ASUI Kibbe Dome on the University of Idaho campus. Other Latah County polling places include Deary City Hall, Genesee Senior Center, Kendrick Fire Hall, Harvard Community Hall, Julietta City Hall Annex, Scenic 6 Park Building in Potlatch, IOOF Hall in Potlatch, Palouse River Community Center in Princeton, Troy Lions Club Community Center in Troy, Shop Residence of James H. Hagedorn in Viola, Mountain Home Grange in Potlatch, and Beauville Family Support Center in Beauville. Under Idaho's system, in which parties can close their primaries, those getting a Republican ballot must declare themselves Republicans, and that declaration will be made part of the public record. The Democratic primary is open to all voters. Voters are only allowed a primary ballot for one party. There is also a nonpartisan race for State Supreme Court Justice between incumbent Justice Joel Horton and challenger William Breck Seiniger, and a second district judge race between incumbent Jeff Broody and challenger John Bradbury. Nonpartisan ballots will also include school district levies in the Troy and White Pine school districts in Latah County. Marquee races in the Republican primary include a challenge from the Tea Party right to Governor C.L. Butch Otter from State Senator Russ Fulcher of Meridian, who opposed action by Otter and state lawmakers to create its own health care exchange under the Federal Affordable Health Care Act. Also running in that primary are fringe candidates Walter Bays and Harley Brown, who, based on their statements during last week's viral primary television debate, also appear to be more to the right than Otter. The winner will face the winner of the Democratic primary between Boise School Board President A.J. Balakoff and Terry Kerr of Idaho Falls. Kerr, who has run for local office before, has not campaigned. In the 1st District Congressional race, two-term incumbent Raul Labrador of Eagle faces three challengers in the Republican primary. They are 24-year-old Boise State University student Michael Greenway of Eagle, 52-year-old Moscow truck driver Reed McCandless, and 24-year-old Boise student and child advocate Lisa Marie of Boise. Blackwell says he is a hemp advocate and a budding internet entrepreneur. The winner will take on the winner of the Democratic primary between seven-term state lawmaker Shirley Ringo of Moscow and North Idaho College graduate Ryan Barone of Hayden. Ringo says her years in the legislature as a member of the minority party has given her experience building relationships. The 73-year-old Ringo said she has gone a little further to get things done, quote, because we never had the votes to run the place. 26-year-old Ryan Barone of Hayden has a degree in social work and worked as a self-reliance specialist. He says civil rights is the focus of his campaign. Like Ringo, Barone is against the proposed Upper Lhoksaw land exchange between Western Pacific Timber and the U.S. Forest Service. In Idaho's 2nd Congressional District, Republican U.S. House member Mike Simpson is facing a Tea Party challenge from Brian Smith. In the race for U.S. Senate, Republican incumbent Jim Risch is facing a challenge from Jeremy T. Anderson of Meridian, who has not campaigned, and Democrat Nels Mitchell is facing a challenge from William Brick, who lives in Brooklyn, New York, who has never been to Idaho. Brick says he can meet Idaho's residency requirements in time to take office if he wins the primary and contends in the general election. There is a hotly contested Republican primary for Secretary of State because longtime Secretary of State Ben Assersa is retiring. Assersa is a Republican. Former Idaho House Speaker Lawrence Denny of Midvale, who brought Duck Dynasty stars to Idaho for a campaign event in March and strongly supported tax protester and former state representative Phil Hart, faces Ada County Clerk Phil McGrain, who has the support of Assersa and much of the party leadership. Military Mission Command trainer for Northrop Grumman, Mitch Toryansky, is also in the race. The winner of the Republican primary will face Democrat State Representative Holly Woodings of Boise in the November election. In the Attorney General's race, incumbent Republican Lawrence Wasdin is facing Eagle Attorney C.T. Chris Troupas. Troupas led the successful lawsuit to allow Republicans to close their primaries. The winners will face Democrat Bruce Bistline in November. There's a four-way Republican primary to replace Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Luna. The candidates are Melba School District Superintendent Andy Grover, Cottonwood music teacher John Einan, American Falls Middle School Principal Randy Jensen, and Mountain Home School District Curriculum and Federal Programs Director Sherry Ibarra. The winner will face Democrat Jana Jones. Jones lost to current Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Luna by 2 percentage points in the 2006 general election, the first time Luna ran for the position. There is a Democratic primary in the race for state treasurer. While Republican incumbent Ron Crane is unopposed, longtime Twin Falls certified public accountant Deborah Silver is facing former credit card processor and insurance agent W. Lane Starton in the Democratic primary. Silver has been Twin Falls County Democratic Party chair, and Starton was president of the Idaho Young Democrats when he was a student at Idaho State University. In the only local primary race, Democrats Gary Osborne of Troy and Jim Mincer of Amida are running for the District 5 seat in the Idaho House, now held by Democrat Shirley Ringo of Moscow. Ringo is running for Congress in Idaho's 1st Congressional District instead. The winner in tomorrow's Seat 5B primary race will face Republican Caroline Nilsen Troy of Genesee and Independent David R. Suswall of Deary in the November general election. District 5 consists of Latah and Benoit counties. University of Idaho Interim Provost Catherine Aiken Friday released a list of 8 academic and non-academic programs that could be cut if the university follows through on a program prioritizing process ordered by the State Board of Education. The list also includes 20 school programs that could be consolidated with others. Bachelor programs low enough on the priority list to be cut include degrees in musical theater, agricultural economics, French, American studies, and medical technology. Also on the list are master's programs in environmental engineering, art, and English. The prioritization document also advocates consolidating some of the school's IT offices, closing the student health pharmacy, and implementing a new employee classification system. Aiken said 400 programs were ranked using criteria mandated by the State Board of Education. She said administrators are reviewing proposed changes from academic leaders, and document authors will likely make significant changes by the time the report is due to be given to the State Board of Education July 15th. University of Idaho President Chuck Staven says the university has hired a recruiter to implement a more aggressive enrollment management strategy focused on high school grads. Staben told the Coeur d'Alene Press his goal is to increase enrollment at the UI from 11,000 to 15,000 over the next several years. Staben said there are significant numbers of qualified high school graduates who do not proceed on to post-secondary education in Idaho. So being more effective at encouraging those students to come to the university or become more educated in some way is a significant market. University of Idaho President Chuck Staben and other university officials presented 1,805 diplomas Saturday, capping off the university's 125 years in existence. Commencement speaker Louise McClure, widow of former U.S. Senator James McClure, told the crowd, "Your education is a process with no end. The benefit is the choices it gives you, choices that are not available to everyone." McClure, who met her husband while both were attending the University of Idaho in the 1950s, said she didn't stop learning when she graduated from the UI 64 years ago. She and her husband established the James and Louise McClure UI Endowment for the Sciences and Public Policy and opened the McClure Center for Public Policy Research on the campus in 2007. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. Lewiston City Councilmember Jesse Maldonado was expected to present a draft anti-discrimination ordinance at a city council work session late this afternoon that would ban discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity in housing, employment, and public accommodations. Maldonado told the Lewiston Tribune, "If we don't have an ordinance, people can get fired for getting married. They can get kicked out of their house. They can be denied services. They might have to take off their wedding ring when they come to work. They can't feel comfortable." Maldonado said his draft ordinance is modeled after citywide ordinances that have passed in the last 2 years in Boise, Moscow, Coeur d'Alene, and Pocatello. He campaigned last year for city council on a platform of getting such an ordinance passed and was elected as the city's youngest city council member at the age of 18. City council members have already indicated support for gay rights. They have passed a policy requiring non-discrimination in hiring of city workers in Lewiston. Former Washington Governor Chris Gregoire is now chair of a campaign to put a new $1 per pack cigarette tax on the November ballot, with the money going to cancer research and prevention. Those backing the campaign say it could produce up to $1 billion in the next 10 years. The plan is to have the cash for research and prevention available up front by selling bonds against the future cigarette tax revenue. 60% of the money would go to research, 20% to prevention, 15% to treatment, and 5% to cover administrative costs. State Treasurer Jim McIntyre told the Associated Press the higher costs of cigarettes might cause revenue to drop. He also said of the proposed measure, it would use debt to finance operating expenditures, which is contrary to state financial policy. Campaign spokesperson Sandeep Kaushik said supporters will decide within 2 weeks whether to move forward this year, in which case backers would need valid signatures from 246,000 registered voters by July 3rd in order for the measure to make the ballot. The director of the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Department said Thursday the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will recommend removing two populations of grizzly bears from the endangered species list over the next 2 years. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Director Jeff Hagener told the Associated Press the federal agency will propose rules that would remove federal protection for bears around Yellowstone Park next year and for grizzly bears in the state's Northern Continental Divide region in 2016. Hagener said the agency is recommending the delisting because they believe grizzly bear populations in the area have recovered. An estimated 740 grizzlies are in the Yellowstone Park ecosystem, and about 1,000 live in the Northern Continental Divide region. If the agency proposes the delisting, there will be a 60-day public comment period before the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service makes its final decision on recommending delisting. If the rules are approved, state and federal officials would begin a 5-year monitoring program for grizzlies, similar to what is currently being done with the state's wolves, which have also been removed from the federal endangered species list. The Moscow City Council will hold two public hearings tonight regarding zoning. One will be on a proposal to allow tandem parking under certain conditions at multifamily developments such as apartment complexes. Tandem parking is the common form of street parking where cars are in a line facing the same direction. The proposal to adjust zoning laws came from a developer, and the city's Planning and Zoning Commission directed staff to write code that would clarify the allowance of tandem parking for single and two-family residential uses and partially recognize the allowance of tandem parking spaces for multifamily residential developments under certain conditions. Another public hearing will be held on a proposal to allow mortuaries by right in neighborhood business, motor business, and general business zoning districts. Currently, a conditional use permit is required to open a mortuary in those zones. The proposal stems from a request by Short's Funeral Chapel to allow mortuaries by right in neighborhood business districts, which is the zone where Short's is located. City staff and the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended allowing mortuaries in motor business and general business zones as well. The City Council will also be asked to accept an accreditation fee waiver from the Commission on Accreditation for Law Enforcement Agencies and to authorize Moscow Police Chief David Duke to sign Commission accreditation access agreements and begin the accreditation process. The Moscow City Council meets at 7 p.m. tonight. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service. There's a 20% chance of isolated showers before 8 p.m., otherwise mostly clear tonight, low 42, and mostly sunny the next 3 days, high 68 tomorrow, 72 Wednesday, 75 on Thursday, partly cloudy nights, low 45 Tuesday and Wednesday. Currently at the Pullman Moscow Regional Airport, fair sky, 62 degrees. Coming up next is Eat the Airwaves, news and opinions from the West Side, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. At 7:30, live in the studio, Climate Justice Forum with Helen Yost. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow, be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843, or go to the Radio Free Moscow website to find out more ways to help Radio Free Moscow. I'm Lee Robartis. Alan Solon assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a good evening. KRFP, Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 FM.